Julia.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kelly.
And this is What You Should Read,
the podcast where we should all over our books.
And we are all in different locations today, it appears. What's going on? Where are you guys?
I'm at Mom and Dad's house.
Nice.
I'm still recovering, and for those of you who don't know us, mine and Julia's mom is a nurse, so she's being my nurse. So that's where
we're so happy to have you back, Rach. We hope you're feeling a little bit better this week.
I'm getting there. Thanks. Yeah, I missed you guys. I was really sad I missed Violet's show on the podcast because she's my favorite. But I did get a lot of good rest in, and it's a long and slow recovery, but I'm getting there and I'm doing really well.
That's so great. And I think you should just play the freestyle rap that Violet did for us over and over again, and that'll cure you.
Yes, I agree. I have listened to it a few times.
Hey, Kelly, how's it going?
Oh, good. I am also at my mom's house, who is actually the one who is not your mom. I'm the one who is not a sister.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yes. Well, you know, you two are sisters. I'm the one who isn't.
I think honorarily you are part of the family. Yes.
I will accept that and thank you. I didn't want to invite myself in.
You are best friends with our nephew Gabe. Right. So
that is true. Yes. But I'm at my mom's house too. So instead of socially distancing at my apartment in Baltimore, I am now socially distancing at my mom's house, but I am very excited to go back home, which I will soon, I hope.
Cool. And I am just at my house. I'm not with my parents. I'm still in the same place. So but we're excited to be here. And this is episode 6, and we today are going to be talking about books you should read for Pride Month, which I'm super excited about. I think we all have a long list of recommendations for you today. So we're going to jump right in. So as with every week, we like to start by talking about what we're reading this week. So Rachel, since you're back, we're going to start with you. What are you reading right now?
Currently, I am reading, Kelly, get ready. I'm reading You Should See Me in a Crown.
I'm so happy.
I knew you would be. So by Leah Johnson. And I just started it yesterday, but it's so cute. I love it so much already. Aww. And I'm excited about it. So that is what I'm currently reading. I am still making my way through The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin. It's so good, but it's one of those fantasies that you really need to like focus while you're reading it. And the last couple of weeks when I've been sick and recovering, it's just hard to focus on like books that aren't just light and fun.
I also think with that book, you have to kind of get halfway through it to really, for the steam to really like kick in. At least that's how it was for me, because it tells the story from three different characters' perspectives, and halfway through things start to click where it doesn't feel as disjointed. Not that it felt disjointed, but just, I don't know. It was just sort of, I was running on all cylinders by the time I got halfway through, and then I couldn't put it down. So, but I agree, there's so much world building, and she does a really good job building the world, but that's the thing with fantasy, right? You have to kind of get immersed in the world. You can't just read a few pages and put it down. I feel like you kind of have to immerse yourself to get the most out of it.
Exactly. And I did download the audiobook so that I could switch back and forth this week. So hopefully that'll help me also make my way through.
Cool. Awesome. Okay, Kelly, what are you reading?
I am currently reading What Unbreakable Looks Like by Kate McLaughlin. And it is a okay, sorry. So if you're watching on YouTube, Julia's cat Fergie just keeps walking into the shot. And I have found that anytime a pet appears on anything, I'm just like super excited and very, very happy. And it's all I can do to not be like, hi, buddy. And Fergie is
I had to move her. Yes, she's great, but I had to move her because she keeps bumping the screen with her head. She's very insistent. Sorry, Kelly. So what are you reading? Continue.
And it's about this girl, and her name is Alexa, but she was trafficked by her mom's boyfriend's friend, a guy named Mitch. And her name in the sex trade was Poppy. And at the beginning of the book, she gets rescued. So we know, okay, well, good. She's out of the life. And it's so good, but it's a very, very hard read. It's basically the exact opposite of You Should See Me in a Crown. But, and I'm about half through, so I don't know what's going to happen, but it's so good and so hard. And I very much like it, but I'm going to need something much lighter, like pretty much literally any other book. Mm-hmm. But I'm really liking it so far, and I would recommend.
Say the title and author again.
What Unbreakable Looks Like. And her name is Kate McLaughlin, but it might be McLaughlin. It's mm-hmm. McLaughlin. So it really could go either way. But it's... I don't want to say I'm enjoying it because it's very hard and I feel like an actual physical discomfort for her, like every time, because she's a teenage girl and now she's back in school and trying to have like this normal life when the life she's known for the past few years has made her so much older than her classmates. But it's amazing so far.
Wow, that sounds powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've had a hard time sitting down and reading a book this week. I've just been so busy at work and it's just been a lot this week. So I'm still working my way through The Weight of the Stars by Kay Ankrum. And I say that as if it's a really long book. It's not. And it's super enjoyable. Every time I sit down to read it, it's lovely. And I'm kind of liking that I'm going through it slowly because I get to enjoy it more, I feel like. Right. But it's definitely not one of those reads that's, you know, if it was a normal week for me, I probably would have read it in a couple sittings.
Right.
I'm just, you know, all over the place this week with work and everything. But I'm also listening to Ibram X. Kendi, Professor Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist.
Oh, yes.
And it's so good. He narrates it and he just... His voice is very, very soothing. And he also really brings in a lot of personal stories and connects it to history and academics. And it's just the way he's strung everything together is just really powerful. And it's, I think, a really important book. A lot of people think that it's sold out everywhere, which is why I got the audio book. I got it from Libro FM. They were doing a promotion on Juneteenth, where all their proceeds went to Black-owned bookstores. So I went ahead and joined Libro FM, and I'm so excited that I did because I canceled another book audiobook subscription a while ago, and this one seems like a good alternative. So
right.
So that's what I'm reading. But I think after I finish that and then The Weight of the Stars, I do think I want maybe something. Really, I think I'm going to go with Aaliyah Johnson. You Should See Me in a Crown, since you've both read it. Then maybe we should do a whole podcast about it and just really.
I would be up for that. Or okay. I can just keep taking over other podcasts and be like, you know, and just figuring out how to work it in. And obviously today about Pride books, it fits in perfectly.
Yes.
But I want to say How to Be an Anti-Racist. I have it, but I haven't read it yet. I have his other book stamped from the beginning. But our friend Lisa has also read How to Be an Anti-Racist. And literally every two or three weeks, she'll ask me if I've read it yet. And every time the answer is no, but I'm going to surprise her one day.
Good. Yeah.
I hope it's not tomorrow she asks again, because it won't be tomorrow, but
I mean, soon. I think you'll like it, Kelly.
Yeah.
I think that you'll really like it. And I also bought Stamped today.
Yeah.
So, yep. So I think we're on book news next, right?
Yes. Okay. So mine, I'm so excited. We are about a week away from the premiere of All Be Gone in the Dark on HBO, which is about the search for the Golden State Killer, based on a book by Michelle McNamara, who is was a journalist. And she would, she wrote a True Crime Diary, which is a blog. And she really focused on the Golden State Killer, but she talked about other cases too. And unfortunately, she died over a year ago. She was Patton Oswalt's wife. Mm-hmm. And she died suddenly. And then last year, not long after her book came out, they caught the Golden State Killer. And you might remember it because I talked about that nonstop for about a 3-week period.
I do remember that. I do.
Yeah. It was the "You Should See Me in a Crown" of February 2019.
I think, didn't I come down to Baltimore right around that time?
And I think you did. I was so happy because I know you're into true crime stuff too. And I was like, oh, thank God I have somebody to talk to about it because she's awesome and she'll hang as long as she can, but nobody cares about this stuff like I do. And no, Rachel, wouldn't even try.
Rachel and Kelly, I feel like you too, if you ever wanted to do an episode about true crime, I would probably have to just be like, you know what, I'll just sit this one out and let you do it.
Because us recommending to you.
I guess I need that. You know, it's not that I don't enjoy it. It's just not something I gravitate to. But the two of you, definitely, it's definitely in your wheelhouse.
That would be our new favorite segment. Which of these is Julia least likely to hate? And I think it would be I'll Be Gone in the Dark because it's so good and so well written. And I have a copy, a physical copy, but my boss borrowed it right around the time the book came out, and I have not seen it since. So I don't know when I'm getting that back.
And you can't demand it back because
no, I
can't. It's your boss.
It's my boss. I'm trying to think of how many coworkers know about this blog. I don't think any.
Amazing. Okay, Rachel, what have you found is new in the world of books?
So I was having a hard time finding book news. You know, the news right now is there's so much else going on, and you know, rightly so, that's kind of in the forefront of the news right now. So my book news this week is a release date, June 23rd, which is, I think, the day this podcast drops.
Yep.
Is Take a Hint, Danny Brown by Talia Hibbert is coming out. Yes. And I just read this. This is one of the books I read this past week. I got an e-arc from NetGalley. And I loved the first one, Get a Life, Chloe Brown. So it's a series based on the Brown sisters. And Get a Life, Chloe Brown was so... I related to the main character a lot, just having sort of similar chronic illness issues, and I loved the representation of chronic illness in the book, and so that was a really enjoyable book. Talia Hibbert is so hilarious, like her characters are just constant witty banter, and I love it, and it's very sexy, there's a lot of, you know, sexy scenes in it, so, you know, if you're someone who doesn't like to read that, fair warning. But, you know, they're so good, such sweet romances, but also very real characters, you know, people going through real life events, and they're not sugarcoating it. But Take a Hint, Danny Brown is, so Danica Brown is the sister that is the focus of this book, and she wants professional success. She's a PhD candidate. She's studying like feminism in the West post like slavery, and it takes place in the UK, so all the UK jargon, I love it. And she is like anti-romance, like she's not aromantic, she just, you know, she's like, I want, you know, I like sex, but I don't want that all that mushy lovey-dovey romance stuff. And she ends up helping out a friend by pretending to date him because they had a video of them go viral and it was helping his charity work get a lot of attention. And so like to do him a favor and help his charity work, she, you know, they do a fake relationship. So it's definitely like a fake relationship to real relationship trope, but the way they go about it is so fun, so funny. Predictable, but not at the same time, which is what I love about romance novels. When when the romance novel's like, okay, yes, it's going to be a happy ending, of course, because it's a romance novel, but you want surprises along the way, too.
Yeah.
So, I loved it so much. Everybody should buy it, and the first one.
That sounds great, and I've been listening to Get a Life, Chloe Brown, on audiobook. I paused it to listen to some other books, but I'm going to go back to it because it was super fun. So, the character of Danny Brown, I loved from the first book. So I would love to read her story too.
She's fantastic.
I have both. And I also want to say another book that comes out Tuesday is the new Jasmine Guillory, Party of Two. So, you know, if you have some time, I think that sounds like an excellent literary double feature. You know, get some love stories, find some joy.
Yeah. Good romance reads for summer. I think we might have to do a romance reads episode. It's a good time to read romance books. Well, my book news relating to the recent controversy around She Who Must Not Be Named and her transphobic tweets, a certain children's fantasy author. I'm just so proud of the people who are working at Hachette because they've basically said, we are not prepared to work on her new book, The Ichabod, which is her new children's book.
Right.
And I mean, the publisher is really obviously pushing back on their employees and saying, you have to work on the book. We have to publish it. But, you know, they're really putting up a protest similar to when Hachette tried to publish Woody Allen's memoir and the employees really forced them to back off on that. So I feel like this author in particular is just way too powerful that it won't, I'm afraid that the protest won't have the effect that we would hope it would. I feel like they're going to just move forward and publish the book because they know they're going to make a ton of money, but it's nice to see people standing up in that way. And so that was my book news. And then another more delightful piece of news is that Dolly Parton Chronicle just acquired a new book by Dolly Parton. It's her life. It's her memoir in lyrics. And so it's going to be a visual memoir using the lyrics from her songs to talk about her life. And it just sounds so great. And I love Dolly Parton. So I was excited to see that.
I actually was just telling my friend Erin that I am of the opinion that 99% of the time, if you don't love Dolly Parton, you are probably an asshole.
Yeah.
The other percent of the time, you somehow just don't know who she is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a book podcast, and like how much work she's done for children's literacy is, right. I mean, she's a Shiro.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Totally. So that's book news. And I think we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do a monster round of, you know what you should read. And we're going to be talking about books that you should read for Pride Month. Yes. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to What You Should Read, and we are starting our mega round of You Know What You Should Read, and we are talking all about queer literature for Pride Month. So, you know, I'd like to start us off on a discussion just in general about, you know, availability of queer literature, representation in queer literature, and sort of how that has maybe evolved or not evolved. So Kelly, do you want to start us off?
Yeah. So I am the gay one, the not hall, the gay one. It came out in college, and right after I did, I started reading basically nothing but books about like gay and lesbian people, like some nonfiction, mostly a lot of fiction. And around then, which was like late 90s, early 2000s, it was hard because like, it's not like today where they have all these like own voices putting stuff out. It was all like basically not even like second tier presses like you would have Candlewick now or whatever. It's, you know, tiny, tiny places probably out of somebody's basement. and the books may have typos or they may have like major plot discrepancies or whatever. But I think sometimes you just want to see yourself reflected in literature so much that you don't really care about the quality. And sometimes I think maybe I don't like romance so much because I read so many super cheesy lesbian romances. Shout out to Karen Callmaker, who I do kind of still love. But it's funny because I feel like now people have so many better options and you can see just a lot of better choices and being put out by the big five publishers. And it's a really great thing. And it's something I try really hard not to take for granted. Although it's kind of easy to do when this past month, there were like three or four major releases about gay and lesbian and trans people, which is just absolutely fantastic. And I was going to mention this later when I did my blanket recommendation for somebody. But there is a book called Pulp by Robin Talley. And I mention that specifically because one of the timelines is there's this this lesbian in the 50s who's obviously not out at all. And she starts writing this lesbian novel. And publishers are basically like, well, either you're going to have to kill one or they're going to have to get married to other people because, like, you can't have lesbians be together and happy. You just can't. So it's up to you if you want one to die or what, but you know, that's just how it's going to be.
Wow.
It's the best book. It really is. I loved it so much because there's also a modern day timeline where someone who's a teenager now starts reading these like lesbian pulp novels from the 50s and becomes like completely obsessed with all of them. And it's really fun.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like these books with more queer representation and LGBTQ representation are becoming more mainstream, which is good, right? Like, it's kind of, you know, how we talked about last week with Violet, how representation in books is important. It's important to see yourself in literature, especially for young kids growing up. And like you said, Kelly, like, that was all you wanted to read, right?
Yeah.
Once you got to the point where you were exploring your identity and, you know, it's really good now that it does seem like there are a lot better options now and their publishers are investing more in these books because they see that people do want to read them. And I think it's, you know, on us, you know, whether you're straight or gay or, you know, to read, again, diversify your reading, right? To support these books so that publishers will keep publishing them because they follow the money, unfortunately. It's,
And I mean, I don't mean to act like they're all awful before the ones that just started coming out. Like Rita Mae Brown, Ruby Fruit Jungle is amazing. Six of One is amazing. Jeanette Winterson. There's a lot of older, really great ones. So I don't want to be like, oh God, when I was coming out, lo, these many years ago, you know, my choices were to either never see myself or to only read like things where they misspelled every third word.
Right. Oh man.
But it is better now.
You know, I definitely, as I over the past few years have tried to make more conscious efforts to diversify my reading and read books about people who are not like me. You know, it floors me how all the books I grew up with just, you know, there was nothing. No characters that were not just cisgendered straight white people. And obviously it doesn't surprise me anymore, but you know, I think about what if the Babysitter's Club came out today, you know, who would be gay, who would be trans?
Obviously Christie's gay. I mean, that's practically canon, Rachel. It's practically canon.
Yeah.
I think
maybe she's like non-binary.
I think the author, Anna Martin, came out as, I'm not exactly sure, maybe bisexual. Yeah. But I do think I heard, I don't know if I made this up in my head, but there was an interview or something that said Christy is probably a lesbian, which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wonder if they'll explore that in the Netflix adaptation. Probably not.
Yeah, I wonder.
I would not be surprised if they did.
That would be cool. Yeah. No, or at least hinted to it.
Yeah, yeah, Netflix doesn't, they don't, you know, sweat the
haters. If they even hinted that, I will be excited. But it would be cool if they made a full storyline.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they're like, what, 12 or 13.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like going to be the main focus romance in general. But I mean, you're in middle school. It's that stuff's on your mind.
Yeah. You have crushes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We should live tweet watching that.
Right.
Yes.
Great.
We should watch it together and record.
Oh, we should.
Yeah.
We're all off July 3rd.
Julia, you're coming up to Maine when it's out, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to do a special episode, right? And talk about it after we've watched all the episodes.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, all right. So we're going to do our round robin of, you know what you should read. So we'll just do a few rounds and see where we're at. See if we'll ever be able to stop talking about the books we want to recommend.
You can just kill my mic, I'm pretty sure. Since it's it'll just be like those cards like 20 minutes later.
Yes. Okay, Kelly, start us off.
Okay, I wanted to do a bunch of different ones, like in terms of representation. So I started with Felix Ever After by Kaysen Callender, which is about a trans, he kind of keeps exploring his identity, but he is Black and trans and queer. And then he settles on a demi-boy. So he never feels like a girl. He doesn't always feel like a guy, but he feels like a guy more often than not. So, I was excited to learn that. I'd never heard about that, but I do think everything is pretty much a spectrum. And it's just watching Felix be himself in this world that seems almost determined to freak him out a lot of the time and be awful to him a lot of the time. I mean, he has friends and his dad is supportive-ish, but he's noticed that his dad never calls him Felix. Like, he never uses his dead name, but he also never uses the name that Felix has chosen for himself either. Like, it's always just like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, it's almost dinner time. You know, like, he notices. And somebody at school, and he doesn't know who, has found pictures of him before he transitioned and posted those pictures of him appearing as a girl with his dead name all over school. And every time I think about it, like, I seriously just wanted to cry and give Felix the most awkward hug, because it felt like such an act of violence that, you know, and but it's so good. It's just this wonderful, wonderful, really, really good book.
That book, I've been seeing it everywhere. So it's definitely,
I love the cover, with like the flower crown and stuff. It's
cool.
Yeah.
Who's the author again?
Kaysen Callender.
Okay.
Yeah. Callender with two L's. And it's, I would definitely recommend.
Nice. Okay. Rachel, Kelly, you know what you should read?
What?
I would love to know.
Well, Kelly, I think, I know you've read this one. Rachel, I don't know if you've read this yet, but it's Darius the Great Is Not Okay.
Oh, I haven't, but so you've read it to me before and haven't gotten around.
I can bring this home with me when I come in a few weeks, but this is by Adeep Karam. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And this is about a boy named Darius. He lives in the US. His mom's from Iran and his dad is American. And he struggles with depression. He doesn't feel like he fits in at school. He has a younger sister who he dotes upon. and he's struggling with his identity, and he and his family decide to go to Iran one, I think it's during the summer. Actually, it might be during the school year. I can't remember. But anyway, they go to visit Iran. He's never been there before. He meets his grandparents in person, I think maybe for the first time. And it's just a whole new world for him. But and he's worried because it's such a different culture, and he's gay. And so he's worried about how that's going to be accepted. But he's not out to anyone in his family at this point. But anyway, he meets a boy there who becomes, they're like instant best friends. They play soccer together, and he, for the first time in his life, feels accepted, basically. And then, yeah, it's just sort of it touches upon his relationship with his dad, his relationship with his friends, with his grandparents. It's just, I just felt for this character so hard. It's like, the author was just like reaching in and squeezing my heart in places, because this character just feels things so, so much. And I related to that a lot. And I know there's a sequel coming out in August called Darius the Great Deserves Better. So I'm really excited to read that. And yeah, Darius the Great Is Not Okay by Adib Karam. It's YA, it's a beautiful book. So yeah.
Great. Awesome. Okay, so do you know what you all should read?
What?
The Prince and the Dressmaker by Jen Wang. So this is a graphic novel, and it is about Prince Sebastian, who is... They never really fully identify sort of how the prince identifies. He says sometimes he feels like a prince, and then sometimes he feels like a princess. So pretty much sort of a gender non-binary or fluid character. And he keeps using the he, him pronouns, except when he dresses as Princess, I want to say, Crystallia or Lady Crystallia. So Lady Crystallia, she is like the alter ego. And she likes to go out at night, and nobody knows that it's Prince Sebastian dressed in drag. So what happens is Prince Sebastian hires a seamstress not like a royal seamstress, but like a sort of a someone who is still working her way up through the ranks, and to make dresses for Lady Crystallia. And it's such a cute, fun romance. And there is, I would say, a trigger warning for a forced outing at one point in the book, but it's a happy ending. And it is just such a cute story. And also the seamstress has her own storyline of, like, you know, developing her career. And it's just a fun graphic novel. I think I read it in 90 minutes. It was so cute. So good. And I love graphic novels. I read them a lot. And I'm actually going to cheat and do a bonus recommendation right now for the Lumberjanes graphic novels.
I want to read those.
Yeah. So there's also a queer relationship in those books. And I think are they classified middle grade?
I don't know.
I think they're middle grade. I think they're like
12. Are those by Naomi, the person who did Nimona?
Yes, yes.
I can't remember her name right now. Noelle
Stevenson.
Stevenson, yeah.
Noelle Stevenson, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm, I think, 6 or 7 volumes in to The Lumberjanes, and it's so good. So good. Yeah, I love it.
Cool. All right, Kelly, what should we read?
Okay, well... As you know, you should read The Falling in Love Montage by Sierra Smythe. And it is this super, super sweet love story. It's about these two girls. And, like, for various reasons, they don't believe in, like, they don't think that an actual lasting relationship is possible. So they're like, we're just going to have fun. We're going to do all the stupid montage stuff from romantic comedies. Like, we're going to go to the fair, and we're going to ride the Ferris wheel. And, you know, we're going to do all this, like, super, super cute, fun stuff. And it's a very fast read. And I really, really liked it.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. Thank you. That's a new recommendation for me. Putting it on my Goodreads now.
Yeah, it just came out.
Okay.
But while we were talking about middle grade a second ago, my bonus recommendation is P.S. I Miss You by Jen Petra-Roy. And that's a good one, too. It's middle grade, like I just said, sorry. And it's this girl whose older sister has pretty quickly left the family, and she's not sure what's going on, and she's trying to piece together things because her parents aren't being very forthcoming. And she learns that her sister had, her sister who was in college, got pregnant and wanted to keep the baby, and her Catholic parents were just like, yeah, no, you're not.
Oh, wow.
And so she's writing her sister all these letters, and it's so funny because she's like, you know, I know how they reacted to your news, and I think I might like this girl, and I don't know what to do because, you know, they're not going to like that any better, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But her books are just absolutely fantastic. That is the only one so far that I know of dealing with GLBT things, but she wrote a really good one about eating disorders called Good Enough, and she has one coming out next year, but I don't know very much about it, but I know I will love it.
Cool.
Great. Yeah.
My next recommendation, and I kind of put this one in at the last minute, but it's The Merry Spinster by Daniel Ortberg. And Daniel Ortberg is a trans author formerly named Mallory Ortberg. So actually the name on the cover might say Mallory, but probably newer printings say Daniel Ortberg. And it is a collection of basically fairy tale retellings from a horror perspective. And while I am not a horror fan generally, I do love fairy tale retellings, and I love humor writing, and there's a lot of humor in this as well. And I subscribe to Daniel's newsletter, and he writes something pretty much every day. And sometimes it's very nonsensical, and I'm just like, what is this? And then other times it's just the most delightful thing that comes into my inbox. So I will say I definitely like some stories in here better than others, which I think is standard for an anthology, right? It's, you're not going to love every story equally, but I do love that there is a lot of representation of sexuality and gender identity in some of the stories. There's one that I think it's the Thankless Child that is a somewhat of a Cinderella retelling. But this story, I don't even know how to explain it, but it plays with gender in a way that I've never seen an author do before. And I don't even know how to explain it other than Daniel has created this world in which gender seems naturally fluid and changeable, and based on, and the gender roles are discussed openly. And it's just, I can't even describe it because I don't even know if I'm smart enough to understand what he's trying to do with the story, but I was fascinated by it. And I read it twice, and I'm still wrapping my head around it, but it definitely gives you a lot to think about. And then you start thinking about, why are you thinking about it? You know, like, what, it challenges your preconceived notion. So that's The Merry Spinster, Tales of Everyday Horror by Daniel Ortberg.
Great. Thank you. All right. So my next recommendation is, you know what you should read is Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston.
Yes.
Yes.
Have both of you read this?
Yeah.
Okay. Loved it so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about sexy, steamy scenes.
Definitely. So this is a romance, and it is an enemies to lovers, which I love. Yeah. So the main character, his name is Alex Claremont Diaz, and he is the son of the first female president of the United States, a Latina woman from Texas, which is awesome. And he has a basically a hate relationship with the one of the princes in the royal family in the UK, not the Prince of Wales, but like the younger prince. And
the Harry, if you will.
Right, the Harry, yes. And they have they're like at a royal wedding. I think the William of the brothers' wedding, right? And they're at this royal wedding and they have a crazy fight and ruin the cake and it becomes splashed all over the tabloids and this PR nightmare. So they are forced to pretend to be best friends and photographed like hanging out together all the time. So even though they hate each other, they are forced to spend all this time together. And of course a relationship starts to bloom. And with all the, you know, all the complications of being political players in, you know, in the, you know, world politics, really, and international affairs are impacted by what they do. So it is very interesting in that respect, but it's just very fun and funny. And like Julia said, very sexy. And I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was hilarious.
I think her next book, but the book after is going to be a sequel or like a companion novel, I think. I'm pretty sure she said that on Twitter. But I was
curious, is Casey McQuiston, and not that, I don't think that we are recommending only Own Voices books, we're recommending books with good representation of the LGBTQ community, but is it an Own Voice, well, it wouldn't be Own Voices, but is the author?
I believe she might be bi.
Oh, yeah.
Or in another way queer. I can't swear to it. But I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
I feel like that's on her Twitter bio.
Yeah. Good. Awesome.
Hopefully all right. Bisexual. I just Googled it. And also, also refers to herself as queer.
Yeah.
So, yes. The main character, Alex, is also bisexual. And the prince, the UK prince is gay.
Yep.
Okay. So Kelly, what do you got for us next?
Well, speaking of bi, you guys know what you should read?
What?
I'll Be the One by Lila Lee. And I really wanted to read this one. The main character is a girl named Sky. She is bi, but she has really only dated guys because she is Korean American. Her parents in general, but her mom in particular, are very, very conservative. And she knows that if she dated a girl or even said, hey, I'm bi, her mom would have a thing with it. It would not go over well. So she kind of keeps that part very, very hidden. And then she goes out for this Korean kind of American Idol, but there's also like a dancing component to it. You can audition as a singer or as a dancer. And it's kind of almost like Who Wants to Be the Next, like, Korean pop star deal.
K-pop.
Yes. And it's so fun. And she starts kind of dating this guy named Henry, who is already famous. He's a model, and his parents are, like, richer than God, basically. And there is another couple in there that are gay, and they are just freaking adorable. Like, they're the kind of couple that you would kind of roll your eyes at and also kind of envy, you know? Yeah. But the other good thing with this, because it doesn't really deal so much with her being bisexual, which is really a little bit of a relief because, you know, it's like, this is one aspect of who she is. Yeah. It's not the most important thing. It's not the most interesting thing. And this really shouldn't be the most interesting thing either, but she is also, I think, what anyone would refer to as fat. So she doesn't have the ideal body type, quote unquote, for this like reality competition. And she's like, I don't care. I'm a great singer. I'm a great dancer. I'm not going to be fat shamed because I can do whatever anyone else can do. And it's just a real absolute delight. And I don't really know much about K-pop, but my friend Kim is absolutely obsessed with it and obsessed with BTS, which is referenced a ton of times. Yes. So like every time it was a reference I wouldn't get, I would think, you know, I bet Kim would explain this to me, but I didn't want to stop reading long enough to ask. So I don't know. Somebody fill me in on all the references. I did not get them all, but it was fun anyway.
Oh, go ahead, Rach.
Well, I read a book earlier this year that was, it had queer romance in it, and also had a character who was obsessed with a Korean boy band. It was a fictional Korean boy band, but what was the name? Let me look real quick and find, Foolish Hearts by Emma Mills.
Oh.
It was so cute.
I love her. She's one of my favorites. All of her books are great.
Yeah, so that's another kind of bonus rec for, I think there's one of the main characters is gay, and she, you know, is just broken up with her girlfriend and is kind of dealing with that and making new friends, and it's really good.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm really into the whole K-pop thing right now. Did you hear about the K-pop fans that basically thwarted Trump's rally?
Doing the Lord's work.
Oh, yes. So great. They bought up all the tickets to the Tulsa rally. And
didn't they organize on TikTok?
Yes. Oh, they were raised right, you know?
I have a good feeling about Gen Z. I think they're going
to. Yes. Oh, they're the best. They are the best.
Yep.
You may need to edit this out, but I'm pretty sure I saw on Facebook that friend of the pod, Allison Dixon's kid, did one of it. Took some tickets.
Yes, I'm sure she'll be fine with us putting that in, but I'll check with her. Shout out to Allison Dixon, friend of the pod. Yeah. Okay, my next recommendation is a series of books. It's the Wayward Children series by Shauna McGuire. I have them all right here. And
all of them?
I have all of them. You know what? You should read all of these books because they're great. They're all about 200 pages too, so they don't take long to read. But basically, what I love about these books is they are set in our world, but the premise is that our world has many doors through which children can go through and find other worlds, and there are countless other worlds. And when they come, a lot of the times children come back from these worlds, and then they have a hard time reintegrating into society. So they go to this school, Eleanor West Home for Wayward Children, that's what it's called. So they go to Eleanor West's Home for Wayward Children. And the thing is that Eleanor West was also a wayward child and came back from the world. And so she's there to help them learn how to live, but also they're all still looking for their door because once they turn 18, they can't pass through anymore. So as they get older, they're trying to they're desperately trying to find their way back to where they want to be, which is this other world. And every book focuses on a new world. It has a lot of LGBT representation in the book. There's one character, Jack, who it's twin girls, Jack and Jill. And Jack definitely plays with gender representation and is attracted to girls. And there's a lesbian relationship in one of the books. And there's a trans character as well in one of the books. So there's just really good representation. The author is Shauna McGuire, and she identifies as bisexual, pansexual, and demisexual. But it's one of my favorite series of all time. So highly recommend the Wayward Children series by Shauna McGuire.
Awesome.
Okay, so my next recommendation is, I'm recommending this book for two reasons. It does have a female-female relationship in it. But it also is a great representation of depression and just general mental health on the page, mental health issues on the page. It's called We Are Okay by Nina LaCour.
Mm-hmm.
So the main character is Marin, and she is a freshman in college, and something happened, you know, before she left for school that really just sort of sent her into a spiral, and she hasn't spoken to anyone back home. She's in New York in college and she's from California. She hasn't spoken to her best friend, Mabel. She hasn't, really spoken to the family member that she left behind. And she is sort of just kind of trying to get through her college time. She's staying on campus through the Christmas break, and Mabel's actually coming to visit her. And she's really worried about how that's going to go because they left things really weird between them. And she's like, oh, she's going to find out that I just am not normal, that I've, you know, she basically, what she tries to do is make her dorm room look, you know, she thinks about what other people's dorm rooms look like, people who are like, quote, normal and happy and living their lives. And so she's like, oh, well, I have to have photos up on the wall in this kind of arrangement, because that's what people do. I have to have these books on my desk because people read these books. And it's like she's trying to play act at being, quote, normal, because she doesn't really know how to, you know, through her depression, she doesn't really know through her depression how to, like, come across to other people. Yeah. So it's really interesting to kind of watch their friendship and their relationship that they have sort of get worked through, and them talk to each other and open up to each other. And it's kind of a sad book, but I mean, it has a hopeful ending, so that's nice. But I really enjoyed it.
Okay, so Nina LaCour is one of my most favorite authors. Everything she writes is brilliant. She wrote a book called, I Think You Don't Know Me, or something similar, with David Levithan, who wrote Every Day. But the reason I'm bringing this up is she's also, later this year, she has a sequel coming out to We Are Okay.
Oh.
I'm so excited. I don't even really know what it's going to be about. I don't care. It's a Nina LaCour book. I'm buying it. I've already pre-ordered. She's amazing. Everything she does is perfect, as far as I'm concerned. But
nice. Well, I should read more by her, because I've only read more by her. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that we are going to wrap up. Does anyone have any just concluding thoughts or anything else they want to say before we sign off today? I know we could talk all day about this topic, I think. So we're going to definitely post more recommendations on social media this week.
Yes. Speaking of social media, we are on Instagram and Twitter as WYSR_podcast. And please follow us there. Also, if you want us to tell you what you should read, email us at whatyoushouldreadpodcast@gmail.com. Or you could tell us what we should read. That's fine too.
I would love that. And now you know what you should read.
You're welcome.